This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Patrick Mahomes gets a win last evening against the Buffalo Bills in a game. And what a game. What a weekend of games it was. 42-36 KC, 19-16 Cincy over Tennessee, 13-10 San Francisco over Green Bay, and 30-27 the Rams beat Tampa Bay. And now the conference finals are set. But we begin with the last one last night, Mahomes.
It's actually funny. A couple weeks ago, maybe last week, I was talking to Mike Remmers because he was in the Minnesota Miracle. And the final play, scoring the touchdown, winning the game at home. And he was talking about how awesome the environment was. And I was talking about how we had to play with Travis and the Chargers where he scored, but we weren't at Arrowhead. And so to be in this moment, this game against that team, and to make a play to walk off a game at Arrowhead, I'll remember this for the rest of my life.
Now, I think a lot of people remember watching this game if they weren't there. That is for sure. Mahomes, 33 of 44, Chris, for 378 and 3. Josh Allen, 27 of 37, 329 and 4. You jumble that together, the quarterbacks go 60 of 81 for 707 and 7 and 0. No picks. I watch this game, and you try to tend to localize topics, right? At least, you know, you talk about the widespread, whatever, but you bring it back to Pittsburgh. And I say, how can you watch that game and think the Steelers are in the same stratosphere as those two teams last night, and one quarterback, Allen, is 25, and Mahomes is 26? Yeah. This is Manning and Brady, or maybe Brady two times over in the AFC. And you got another 8 years of this.
And that's just those two. Then right. You got the guy that won on Saturday, even though he didn't throw any touchdowns and the offense wasn't particularly pretty, but Burrow put up 348 yards. You got a guy who was an overtime field goal away from getting into the playoffs in Justin Herbert. Those are the big four, in my opinion, in the AFC. Mahomes and Allen seem to be a cut above the other two. I don't know. Maybe we'll see something different in the AFC championship game. But regardless, I look around the AFC, and we haven't even mentioned like the Lamar Jacksons and Derek Carrs of the world either. And I don't think Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins is on that level even. So I don't know how the Steelers compete in a world where, look, if they were in that situation last night against either one of those teams, none of the quarterbacks they have on their roster is doing anything to keep pace with either one of those two guys. Like, it's a different game.
Yeah, I watch that game. It moves at a different speed. I watch what the offenses do, and they throw the football all over the place. They take yardage. And it felt like watching the end of that the Chiefs had five guys that would be the Steelers' fastest guy. Mm-hmm. It just felt that way.
That's the other thing, is the speed factor on both sides of the ball. But particularly you look at Hardman, Hill, of course, McKinnon.
Right.
These guys take the ball and they're 0-60 in the blink of an eye, and the Steelers don't have anybody, even amongst their most talented players on offense, anybody who moves like that.
I don't want to paint dread this morning, but you always, again, you try to localize things, and I look at it through the Steelers' eye, and I just simply said, as one play turns to another, Hill has a big return, there's a big touchdown, you have Allen find another seam, you have him go ahead and bulldog people for a first down. You then, and again, to localize it, you say, How in the world are the Steelers on this, in the same stratosphere? Did they play with that team? Did they find something to do in terms of stopping that team? And I don't know. I don't know. I think you continue to build on defense and hope, but there's no way you match points with those teams. You just can't if you're the Steelers.
No, they don't have, and it's not as easy as even drafting a quarterback or shoring up your offensive line. Like, again, to bring it back to the game-breaking element, there's no one on the Steelers' offense that moves like Tyreek Hill moves, that moves even like Stephon Diggs or Gabriel Davis moves. I mean, the wealth of skill position players on the field last night who could break the game open, coupled with the quarterbacks and what they were able to do, not just with their arms, but with their legs, the complete and total package. And you're right. The Steelers' offense is light years behind what we saw last night. It's just, like I said, it's not even the same game. So as much as we might like some of the personnel, as much as we might love some of the personnel on the defensive side of the ball and what they're capable of, like, is that even enough? So, you know, let's, because I know we're going to get into the overtime conversation later. I don't want to sort of open Pandora's box yet in regards to that. But the argument could be made, just make a stop, right? Well, if the Steelers' defense is out there against either one of those offenses last night, are they able to do that? Are they able to just make a stop? Even if it's not stopping a team from scoring, just hold them to a field goal, right? And I think they'd be capable of doing that once or twice, but then we saw the Steelers' defense get absolutely handled by the Chiefs twice in the last month. I don't know. It's just, it feels like it's a completely different game on both sides of the ball. And I don't know, you know, saying the Steelers offense is light years behind those two offenses is one thing. Everybody can see that. But then also, do they have the kind of defense that can slow down one of those offenses? Right. I don't know if they do.
And this is the height of the Steelers defense. I think that's my main concern when I was watching this, is that the Steelers defense right now is going to, probably starting about next year, get older from there. We are seeing the height of it probably age-wise. As T.J. Watt gets a little bit older, that's going to happen. It's not necessarily one that, okay, you got 9 million young guns on defense, and they are going to match the time frame of Allen and Mahomes.
Or just match the time frame of whatever you may be able to put together on offense. Yeah,
correct. This is, I don't want to say it's just getting started for these two teams, but with the quarterbacks' ages, they could do this for another 7-8 years.
And it's, again, not just those two teams, because, Mahomes is 26. Allen's 25. Burrow is 22, 23.
Jamar Chase is like 15.
Herbert is 22, I think. Those guys aren't going anywhere. Like, that's, it's going to be fascinating. And again, we didn't even mention the Lamar Jacksons or Derek Carrs of the world, who
Jamar
are probably
Chase
that next
21.
Level.
He's 21 years old.
He's going to play football for at least the next 10 to 15 years.
And that's the scary part. And now the Steelers are in a bind. And this is where the conversation does go back, Chris. And I hate for it to go to this place. These pieces were all in place when he went into this year. Why not try to match what you had? This year needed to be scrapped in a way by the Steelers. Or you come up with the same result and you just go ahead and start that rebuild. Now, it may have meant no Najee Harris here. That could have happened.
Yeah.
But you had to start, and Ben just got in the way for a year. He just got in the way for a year.
Yeah, and they decided to be okay with that. Right, whether it was they made him an offer that they thought he would walk away from and he ended up taking it, or whether they fully intended to welcome him back with open arms the entire time, it doesn't matter. They decided, when they decided to move forward with Ben for a year, that were, like we've said over and over again, they hit the pause button on development, and they sort of punted on the year, basically, even knowing that they might sneak into the playoffs as they did. They knew it wasn't going to really go anywhere. And so here you are now with an offense that, as much as I love Najee, as much as I love Freiermuth, as much as I like Deontay Johnson when he catches the football, they don't have a Tyreek Hill. They don't have even a Mecole Hardman. They don't even have a Jerick McKinnon. And they certainly don't have the kind of quarterback who can utilize all those weapons. Their offense is a long way off. And again, it feels like what we watched last night was like the big blockbuster summer movie, and the Steelers are the direct-to-DVD sequel.
For sure. And I saw guys last night. I guess the scary part last night, and I don't know how Matt Canada counters this, because you do match offenses, even though your mm-hmm. defense is trying to tackle. I saw more guys in that football game catching the ball on a dead sprint than I have in any football game I saw all year. Full form, 100% dead run.
And the quarterbacks got it to them regardless of what position they were in. We saw they outlined it a couple times on the broadcast. Mahomes kind of going with the sidearm action to get it underneath a defender's arms almost or wrap it around a defender. You saw Josh Allen throw a ball 60 yards on a rope.
Right.
I mean, just on a rope, catching a guy in a dead run. I mean, the talent at quarterback is, well, the Steelers just aren't anywhere close to having
that. No, they're not. You know, and I said this and I tweeted it out this morning because I do find it true. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Rudolph. That's like when you see somebody walking around the beach and they got one of those shirts that say Paris, New York, Rome, London, Shreveport.
Right.
Or Johnstown.
Yeah.
Really. It just doesn't fit. It's not even the same. I don't know what the answer is, but the answer is Mason Rudolph is grossly overmatched by those guys.
Here's the thing. All the contingencies or all the other directions they could go, you know, the veteran stopgap, the Dwayne Haskins, a rookie in the draft, none of those pieces are going to measure up to what we just saw this weekend and specifically last night either.
Yeah, it's just a scary time for the rest of the AFC. It really, really is. Get Money coming up next, the five in a couple minutes. And you heard one guy talk. Is he on the cusp of retirement? Does he want to go somewhere else? Is he just being a jerk? Who knows? But we'll hear from him before the hour is out. Stop salt damage right in its tracks. Get free unlimited washes at Wetgo. Sign up for your first month at Wetgo Unlimited, and your next month is on us. It's a BOGO. You can't go without this winter with all that salt, right? Sign up today. Get your free month of unlimited washes. GetGoCafe.com/unlimited and say see ya to all that salt damage. Do that. Do that right now while you're thinking about it. By the way, make no mistake before we get to Get Money. Make no mistake. The best thing that happened all weekend was Bloody Lip Brady.
Anytime he gets his panties in a twist, I get entertained. I'm sorry.
He should not have been penalized.
He should not. I mean, and there probably should have been a flag called on it. I mean, but still, it doesn't matter. I don't know. His pain gives me enjoyment. Sorry.
He just didn't know what to do. Like when he was mad, he didn't know whether to yell. The look on his face was just. It was a guy that's hardly ever in that position, if ever, and didn't
right.
know how to react.
But it was just crazy to
hilarious.
Me. I don't know. The Ndamukong Suh thing earlier was just we've gone from not being able to hit quarterbacks to not even being able to talk to
them.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Did he make a play, though, Ndamukong Suh? Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole time, though, I mean, it was the lead was never safe. And you thought, oh, here comes Brady. How about Cooper Kupp, though, and how good he
– otherworldly.
I've not – and then I'm thinking, like, can you imagine what he did at Eastern Washington against, like, Idaho?
Right.
Right? But the wide spaces that he has and how quick he catches the football and then changes the trajectory of where he wants to run.
It's insane. When it was 27-6, I went outside to shovel the driveway, and my neighbor actually called over. He's like, hey, how come you're not watching? He's like, eh. It's pretty much over anyway. Got back inside, and all of a sudden, it was not over.
See, I had the TV in the garage on as I was shoveling.
Oh, I had it in my ear.
Outside, big move.
The Buccaneers play-by-play guy, by the way, his voice, I can't remember his name. His voice is just incredible. It's like, you know how the Westwood One NFL voice? The NFL
right?
on Westwood One.
I know who it is.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers play-by-play guy, his voice is almost that deep.
Oh, yeah? It's the Westwood One guy?
Yes.
Yes. All right, here we go. Get Money. Let's go.
Get Money. Get Money.
Gene Dekeroff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gene.
He's done that a long time. He's the man.
Brady's on the move, and yes. He's got him down to the Rams' 30-yard line.
All right. I got seven's not enough after watching the Chiefs explode. It might be close for a while. The opening number is about 7. Chiefs hosting the Bengals next week. I like the Chiefs to open it up toward the end of that football game. If it's an early line to jump on, I think it's Chiefs. Chiefs 7, they'll win by 9 or so.
All right. I like that. I'm hoping the game's a little closer, but we'll see. I like this one, and it's already rated a five-star bet by our friends at BetQL, and it's the total in Rams-Niners going over what is currently listed at 46.5. They played twice this year, obviously, being division rivals. Once it came in under that number, Niners won 31-10 early in the year, but the Rams offense was in the middle of that Matt Stafford doldrums that he was going through. When they played in Week 18, well, they went to overtime, and the Niners won, but they went to overtime, and there were points scored. So, all that being said, I expect points to be scored in this one. I love the Rams' defense, don't get me wrong, but Garoppolo, whether he's good or not, I don't know. He's doing something right, and the Niners' offense is moving. So, give me over 46.5 on Rams-Niners in the NFC Championship.
There we go. Get money, get money, get money. All right, coming up before the hour is out, one quarterback says, the right thing's not really. I fell into a quandary yesterday on what to do as I was with my money. And I gotta run that by somebody before the hour's out. The five coming up next and our Twitter poll. And that's before we talk to Ed Bouchette. A very good morning here on the Fan Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Aside from what a lot of people are calling possibly the greatest weekend in NFL playoff history, other stuff happened as well. Maybe some possible job openings getting filled, some job openings being created, and a little bit of hockey as well. Producer Matt wraps it all up in the five.
Yeah, we will go to that incredible football weekend first here. After another incredible comeback attempt fell short and the Bucs lost 30-27 to the Rams yesterday, Tom Brady wouldn't talk at all about his future beyond this season. He's not done, is he?
I don't believe he is. I think that he'll be back. He's in incredible physical shape. I don't think that he was the reason that they lost yesterday. I don't think that he's the reason that they lost any of their games. If you protect him a little bit, he can still wing it. He didn't have a good first half, that's for sure, and he threw a couple of ill-advised passes. But if you look at the totality of his work this year, through 13 weeks or so, he was a very real MVP candidate. I don't think – he may want to just spend more time with his family, but I think physically he could still do it.
I mean, statistically, what he put together at 44 years old is ridiculous. He's got to have a quality offensive line in front of him, though, as we saw yesterday. When that offensive line starts to get dinged up, he runs into trouble. I think he comes back for one more year just because he's always stated 45 is kind of a goal. And I think he's also he's like every quarterback, like every franchise quarterback who's had at least one taste of the ring, the Lombardi, they want to go out getting it one more time. That's their dream scenario. So I think as long as he believes this team is still capable of doing that, which when they're totally healthy, they are, he'll want to come back for another run.
Two more victories for the Penguins this weekend. Friday night, it was 5-2 over Columbus. Sid was the star there. Then they essentially stole a shootout win over Winnipeg yesterday after being outplayed most of that game. It was also Chris Letang's 900th game as a Penguin. At this point, is he going to finish his career here? And how many years do you think he has left?
I don't think he'll finish his career here. I don't know how many he'll have left. 4 years maybe left with Chris Letang. The Pittsburgh Penguins season has now drifted into two notable points for me. One, the trade deadline, and if they are going to go out and get a backup goaltender, which they so desperately need, and I think that's the one thing Hextall needs to do, and two, the start of the playoffs. Those are the two storylines that are in my windshield that's really, I don't want to say all in my windshield because I'd like them to stay healthy through both of those things, but that is the full focus for me for the most part.
I don't know if Chris Letang's back next year to answer your primary question. I don't know if Hextall is going to be interested in keeping him around at the money he might be able to get elsewhere. You think of a team that's maybe up and coming and looking for a veteran defensive presence who can also still skate the puck end-to-end like Letang can. There will be people out there willing to pay $9 million, $10 million a year for that. And the Penguins, given everything else going on, I don't think can afford to fit that in under the cap. So this might be the last year of Chris Letang as a Pittsburgh Penguin. If you love Chris Letang, appreciate it. If you don't like Chris Letang, and there's plenty out there who don't like Chris Letang, well, just hold that in your back pocket. And above all else, hope that we can bottle up this Tristan Jarry we've seen over the last 2 months and have and put just unwrap him in May once the playoffs get here so that he doesn't look anything like last year.
Back and forth over the final 2 minutes in Chiefs-Bills. KC took the ball, scored a touchdown to win it in overtime. Josh Allen and the Bills never got the ball back. So does the NFL need to give both teams at least one possession in overtime?
We'll get into this a little later. I go back and forth, and it's all dependent on, and this isn't a good answer, but for me, it's dependent on how many chances you had in regulation. And I walk away from that game and go, well, they had enough chances in regulation. But there needs to be a standardized answer. I understand that. Do I like the system? No. But did the Bills get screwed in that instance? No.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's where I am. Yeah, I think that's the there's an important – these two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think you can look at last night's game and say – no, the Bills didn't get screwed. The Bills had the lead with 13 seconds left and allowed Patrick Mahomes to pick up 44 yards in 9 seconds. That's, you don't deserve to win a football game in that instance. I'm sorry, you just don't. But I can also look at it and say, hey, I appreciate the fact that the overtime system in the NFL is not perfect and it could be fixed to allow both teams to get the ball, but that's not the reason. That's not the reason Buffalo lost last night. Even if they get the ball back, they go down the field and score a touchdown and tie it. Guess what happens? Kansas City gets the ball back, and then they win. So that's not fixing.
Aaron Rodgers bounced again from the playoffs without a Super Bowl appearance, this time without even a win in the postseason. So does this change what you think is in his future for next year?
No. I think he went into that game. I think he went into the playoffs, whether he won the Super Bowl, whether he lost in the first round, which did, his first round, and he had the same tactic and he had the same blueprint and the same path set for next year. What it is, I don't know, but I do think it's probably getting out of Green Bay.
Yeah, I have the distinct feeling that had he gone on to the Super Bowl with the Packers, and especially had he won it, he would have felt inclined to remain in Green Bay. But going out the way he did, the way that team did, after how good he was and they were all season, I imagine he wants to turn over a new leaf, get a fresh start, whatever you want to call it, somewhere else. I don't know if he'll have a better chance to win a championship somewhere else, but that's the storyline for Aaron Rodgers is, does he ever get another ring? Does he get one before he hangs it up, and is there a place that's better equipped to help him do that than Green Bay?
As we suspected might happen, Keith Butler officially announced his retirement, so the Steelers have an open spot at defensive coordinator. So a quick two-parter here. First, is Terrell Austin the next guy? Secondly, how much does the next guy even matter if Mike Tomlin's the one calling plays?
I wonder if Terrell Austin will be the next guy or will want to be the next guy now that the report has come out from Jerry Dulac that out the door, Keith Butler said, I didn't do anything. I didn't call any plays. So I thought for sure he would be the next guy. Now I don't know. I don't know who would want to take that job knowing you're that just entitled.
Yeah, I do think Terrell Austin will be the next guy because – he's, I would imagine, been privy to the defensive play calling all along and is well aware of the fact that Mike Tomlin is the guy making those calls. And so if he was interested in coming here in the first place with the idea that he would possibly take over for Keith Butler upon Butler's retirement, knowing what the system was like, I imagine he's probably still interested in doing that. But to your second question, Matt, I don't know if it matters. I don't know if, as long as Tomlin refuses to relinquish control of the defense, I don't know if any of it matters.
There we go. That's the five. Coming up next, Twitter poll. We have that for you. One quarterback says he tries to clear up his future, and then I need to clear something up in terms of service, getting service. Mm. And what do you do in terms of a tip? I'm confused, and I'll tell you what that is. I'll bring that to you next. All right. They say Jim Colony in that promo.
It does.
we got to send a message,
time
I guess.
To update it, I guess. Oh,
first day of Jim's retirement. Man, make sure you send them something.
You know how in our new email, like if you go to send an email, and I went to send an email last night to you know the group thread, and it comes up with suggestions. It'll say, like, do you want to include, and the suggestion was Jim Colony.
Right. Because
he wasn't on the email thread. And it was, for a second, I was just like, huh.
Wow.
That's right. No more Jimbo.
Jeez. How about this? This Twitter poll is something else, the way that it worked out. Go ahead and click the Twitter poll. Let's go. Come on, everybody. Let's tweet. Twitter it. So the weekend Twitter poll, which was this. Who's the best team left in the NFC? 67.2% of you said the Packers.
Whoops.
14.7% said the Bucks, 15% said the Rams, and 3% said the 49ers. You know why I kind of like the Rams and the 49ers making it too? It makes that game between – it makes the AFC game the early game. I wonder if it would have been flipped if it wasn't two West Coast teams.
No, I think they had it set.
Was that going to be
They set it, and they alternated every year that AFC and NFC alternate between early and late.
Well, good. I like – either way, however it works out, I like that the Bengals are first. That's the early game. Get the day moving with like 3:30 or so.
Three and 6:30,
yeah.
I think.
The disrespect continued for San Francisco in that Twitter poll.
Oh, yeah,
they
always.
Just keep winning.
Yeah. Today's daily Twitter poll vote. Who's the best team left standing in the NFL? Bengals, 49ers, Rams, Chiefs. 75.5% of you say the Chiefs. 19.1% of you say the Rams. 3.2% say the Bengals. And 2.1 say the 49ers. All right, before we hear from a quarterback, I got to ask a real quick question here. How do I handle this situation? Went to a restaurant yesterday with my daughter, and it's one of these places where you order, you get the QR code from a placard, you just sit down, seat yourself, get the QR code from the placard where you formerly would get a menu, you order, it takes you to a website, you order everything on the website, then it sends it to
So there's no
kitchen.
Server.
The server comes out and brings you your drink, you know, and the stuff you order. You even order everything down if you want water or not, everything. Then they bring it out, but at the bottom it says, well, here's, and you pay with Apple, like I have Apple Pay.
Okay.
So you can pay without pay. And then it lists the tip. Do you still tip the same?
No.
That you,
I don't.
I know.
It might make me a bad person, but I don't.
I ended up tipping what I would the same, but just because of the industry and how hard they've been hit and everything. But it was like, they're definitely not doing as much work.
When somebody actually comes to the table and like talks to you and takes your order formally and all that, I'm going to go, especially if it's good service, above 20%. Like I'm going to make sure, especially like you said, in this day and age, knowing how difficult it is in the service industry and how hard it is for places, especially to find people who want to work, I want to make sure it's worth their time, right? So I'll tip more than 20. If all they're doing is bringing the food out, then no, you get, I don't know, like 15 to 20-ish, depending on where I feel like rounding it up.
I just found it interesting. I liked it, but it is eliminating the human. But I liked it that there was your QR code, bang, you ordered everything. It was.
Here's the thing. When you do that, and like we've talked about this at home, where like we wanted to, even when you're doing a grocery order, right?
Okay.
Like, I'm going to pick up groceries at Aldi today, and it's an Instacart deal. There's certain things you can't, it's not the same as when you go to do it yourself, or when you order at a restaurant, for example, you can say, hey, you know, medium rare, but like a little more on the medium side, right? Like, you can give a specific you can't do that when you're doing everything online. There's no like specificity to it. There's no personalization to it. It's just give me this.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah, like at that and butcher shop counter. You say, right. I want that second steak down over there. If I could please
right.
have that.
That doesn't exist in this environment.
Yeah, that's tough. Aaron Rodgers. So I wasn't confused. I was just caught in a bit of a quandary.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers may be in a quandary. This is him post game.
It's after this game, but
right.
I'm going to take some time and have conversations with the folks around here and then take some time away and make a decision, obviously before free agency or anything kind of gets going on that front. But, it's fresh right now. It's a little shocking for sure. Definitely haven't, was hoping to have, nice week after the NFC Championship to enjoy the lead up and then start contemplating some things. So I haven't even let the moment really sink in yet.
Tony Dungy kind of took him to task for those words when they played them.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, I would have liked for him to have said, not mentioned free agency or things like that, just been like, hey, look, I just kind of walked off the field. I haven't thought about those guys. I haven't thought about that. My teammates are in there, and they are, we're reeling after a loss, and it's tough. And Tony Dungy was like, it's almost like he just operated as a free agent on that football team, and he's in his own world, and he happens to be a hired gun for them.
See, I think that was – I mean, I heard him sound like a guy who was kind of shocked and stunned that they lost in that statement there, that answer. He sounded he openly admits, I was not ready for this. And it just happened, and it's still fresh, so I got to take a step back and kind of figure out where I want to go because I had not spent – as much time thinking about this as I thought I'd have more time. So I don't fault Rodgers.
But he thought he would have more time because he
thought they were going to go deeper into the playoffs.
Right. Because
yeah.
he kind of overlooked, but he was like, and he said after the NFC Championship.
Yeah. Oh,
too,
yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, he was looking
ahead.
In the
week before the Super Bowl.
And I appreciate that honesty to be quite, hey, tell me exactly what you're thinking. I got no problem with that. It's good for us. And again, it's somewhat refreshing, even if it's also takes you back a bit. I can't see a world where Aaron Rodgers ever sets foot back in Lambeau Field as the Packers quarterback again.
It'll just be interesting to see how it all plays out. I don't think that'll happen, but what if the GM says, you know what, I'm out of here. Hell with this. It's him or me. And then they go, well, okay, it's him. I mean, but then they were like cordial toward the end.
They were fine towards the end, I think. I think the bigger question is for the Packers, as you sit around and wait for Aaron Rodgers, you've also got to plan it. Remember last year, they were hamstrung by the fact that they had to sit around and wait for Aaron Rodgers. They can't allow themselves to be hamstrung this year. They're way over the cap, and they got to figure out a way to keep Devontae Adams with or without Aaron Rodgers,
right.
Especially if it's without Aaron Rodgers. Because if Rodgers and Adams both leave, you're basically in rebuild mode.
You know what I tweeted just a moment ago? Lost in all the overtime rules suck situation, and the quarterbacks were amazing, and both of those things are probably true. A lost in that talk is this. Kelce made an unbelievable catch for a guy that big at the end of that football game. It just goes, you just take it for granted. Like, he's a gigantic guy and changed his angle on the ball and went from one shoulder to the other and tiptoed on the sideline a little.
I mean, he runs routes.
He's
and,
6'5",
and after
265.
The catch, like a wide receiver.
Right. He made a really big catch, a great catch in a gigantic moment. And if they kick a field goal and have to kick a field goal, who knows what happens there?
Okay for a guy from Ohio, I guess.
Right. But he was great at Cincinnati. When he was in college,
yeah.
He was unstoppable. Just unstoppable. All right, coming up next, unstoppable force Ed Bouchette. He joins. Can't wait to talk to him this morning.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it?
Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.